Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome back to another episode of the eLaborate Topics podcast. We are your hosts, Tywana Wilson, Lona Small, and myself, Stephanie Whitehead. And we are so excited for another opportunity to talk to you about all things laboratories and, you know, just really start helping our listeners again. For those of you tuning in for the first time, the eLaborate Topics podcast is a weekly show where myself and my co-hosts are bringing you topics related to the laboratory and leadership that are helping you excel inside and outside of the laboratory. And so, like I said, I'm excited for today's show, so let's get right into it because we've got some great information for you today. Before I get too far into it, though, make sure that you like and share this episode and join us on our eLaborate Topics podcast group on LinkedIn and follow us all on our social medias. Okay, so now today we're going to go over networking do's and don'ts. Now, you know, everything is starting to open back up, although we're still in the pandemic and observing our precautions. As things do start to let loose a little bit and open back up and we start to gather again, we think now is a good time to brush up on our social stamina and sharpen our networking skills as we get into more personal interactions. So if you don't know, what is networking? Well, we've done a previous episode on this, so go back and do me a favor and listen to episode 4. Episode 4 is a very great episode we did with our special guest, Professor Cami Rapp, where we discussed this topic a little bit more in depth, and the title was Social Capital. So going back, in simple terms, networking, or social capital, is a term that is used to describe the network of relationships amongst the people in the group so we can all function. Just like money or financial currency, you can think of your network as your relationship currency. You obtain this currency or this social capital or your networking group when you collaborate with others on a project, when you help your coworkers on the deadline, maybe when you bring somebody a cup of coffee, talk to somebody at a conference, you know, when you sit at those tables with the white tablecloth and, you know, you don't know anybody around you and you step outside your box and talk to somebody. Perhaps you join a committee virtually or connect with others on social media. When you start to build your network, you create relationships amongst people that function as a group and that you can use when you need to. Through these acts, as you're building these relationships, you start to build up your currency or your social capital in your currency bank or your networking bank. You have invested time and you build up your capital account. That way, when you need maybe a favor, a reference, some advice, some guidance, some mentoring, you can easily cash in on that currency or that relationship. Sometimes they stretch beyond direct interactions. For example, if you have somebody that you know in your laboratory or in your space that has a bad reputation or for being difficult to work with on a project, or even if you've worked with them yourself and you remember a negative interaction with that person, when that person needs a favor or that person needs you to help them, you may be a little bit more reluctant to work with them because of your previous interactions. So networking can also work negatively too. This episode, we want to help you do the things you need to do so your networking and your relationship can work in a positive way for you. When you talk through different academic terms, there's a term called system thinking, and this describes complex relationships and interactions where the processes and procedures of that system work together. So if you think about this on a world dynamic, you can think about nature and plants and air and water and how all of those things in our ecosystem feed together to keep our entire ecosystem going. Just like that, when you relate that to your laboratory or your hospital or maybe your clinic or your school that you work work in, you can think of the entire department, the entire chemistry department, or the entire blood bank department, depending on the other systems around them, the other laboratory sections, or maybe the other academic programs if you work at a university, to function well. You guys depend on each other to get the overall job done. So when you try to address the challenges in your lab or your department, it's beneficial to think about how the departments around you can interact with each other to help find solutions together and collaborate. When you collaborate, you discover how everybody can work with each other to get the job done. Now, this can be in your department, in your laboratory. This can be locally if you have a society of local phlebotomists or a local cytologist. Or this can be nationally if you're working with a national organization like ASHI or the AABB or the ASCP. Your interactions affect other people's actions. So when it comes to things like, you know, addressing concerns about pay or retention or, you know, advocacy, we can all work together to get those things done. I have an example of where we used, you know, this ideal of great collaboration in our own hospital to get things done. We were working on a patient safety concern where we were getting mislabeled samples. People who were collecting the phlebotomists, nurses, MAs, techs, not labeling lab specimens correctly. And we took an interdisciplinary group of techs, you know, physicians, laboratory people, and took a step back to understand each person's actions that affected the other department's actions and what were the consequences. What were the consequences that were leading people to skip steps and not perform the procedure correctly when it came to collecting specimens? And when we did that, we were able to look at the entire system and find solutions that work for everybody. So ultimately, when you spend time and you have a genuine interest in somebody else's process, when you really look at why they think the way they think and why they're doing the things that you're doing, you can get a lot of things done. So we want to take, like I said in the beginning, a deeper dive into networking, things to do, things not to do, so you can be successful. As we take a deeper dive, Lona is going to look at some things that you should do, some things that you should be focusing on, some things that you should be concentrating your efforts on as you look at networking. And then Taiwana will take on, you know, these are the things you don't want to do, though. So, Lona, what are some things we should do to be successful in expanding our professional network?
Yes, Stephanie, I love the way you actually outline networking and actually use some of the concepts like collaboration and other things to like solutions that we could be involved in. And at the same time, we're networking. So networking is, you know, I love the idea of like having more people in your network to help you either with solution and you can help. So when you're thinking of ways in which you can network, some of the things that you could do, I usually start with setting an intention because you don't want to go into any networking situation and you're not sure exactly how you're going to go about it. So first of all, set some intentions to think about who are the people, the new people that you'd want to meet. You know, who are some of the people that you want to interact with? And it could be based on you want to learn more about leadership, so you want more people who are in leadership in your network. You may want to be more involved in patient safety, like Stephanie said, you know, getting involved in a project or a committee. You may want to know more about quality, or even you may have something in the lab that you want to promote. And personally, you may have, say, a book. So you decide, who are these people that I want to meet more of? And so, say, for instance, if you're thinking of, I want to get more involved in leadership, start looking at maybe professional associations that you could be part of, maybe AABB or AACC, or for me, I love quality, so I get involved in lab quality confab, where I meet other people who have the same passion of process improvement and quality. You know, there are different association and patient safety, but right there in your hospital or in your lab, there may be committees that you want to join, and you'll get to either know more people who have the same interest and be able to give value in those situations. So another thing is when you're looking, like Stephanie said, we're thinking of right now we're in the pandemic. So there are a lot of virtual opportunities. So look for virtual opportunities or even platforms like LinkedIn that you could find those people that you want to connect with. So, you know, there's just a lot of virtual events. There's different social platform, professional platforms that you can be very selective in where do you find those people. So when you're in a networking environment, whether you're part of a committee, whether it's an event that you went to, or you're on a platform, it's good to plan. And this is still part of setting that intention. Plan how you want to interact and what value. So it's so important for you to say, how can I bring something to the table? Do not go into a networking environment thinking, what can I get out of it? Make giving your priority. And a lot of times when you give, you'll always get, because it's, as Stephanie said again, this whole system thinking where it's a whole ecosystem where, you know, it's like it's a give and take. So think about, first of all, what is it, what value can you share? So you're thinking, you're planning ahead. And then you're planning ahead for long-term connections. Another thing is to have a positive outlook. So when you're entering any kind of networking environment, think of how this is going to go well versus how can it go bad. So just go in a relaxed way with a positive outlook and expect more a relaxed kind of conversation or give and take from the conversation. So if you're in a physical event and you're going to network, so you approach someone with a very pleasant, or people want to deal with somebody who is pleasant. So make sure you either have a smile and you're introducing yourself with some kind of confidence. So always give that other person the opportunity to share. So we're talking about giving whoever it is that you're interacting with, always give them that opportunity to speak about who they are, share about the things that they love, and listen. Spend a lot of time listening. Although it's going to be a two-way conversation, you don't want to just be there and not say anything, but be very intentional about listening. And when you're listening, it gives you that opportunity to see what that person is passionate about, what they're really excited about, and that's important to you. It's important to see what they're excited about, and it's also important to see what you have in common. So pick up from the conversation, what is it that you have in common? Is it like maybe the same sorority, or, you know, maybe same country, you know, you're from the same country or have family members from the same state, or maybe you have a lot, maybe some language that you speak, or, you know, certain job roles. If you're all, oh, yes, I'm also a lead tech, or I'm in chemistry, or I do blood bank, or I went to this university. But look for things that you have in common, because people love to know that they're talking to somebody that have commonality. So just look for those things that you have in common. And always offer from that conversation, offer to help. So, you know, if you're on a committee and you find that somebody needs something from the lab, or they don't know there's something that they need to complete a project, offer to help. So always look for opportunity to offer your help. And even if it means offering your help by connecting them with somebody else, so in your own network, that is gold. So if you can connect them with either somebody that will help them or a tool that will help them, always, you know, offer your help and look for opportunity to give value. Another thing is if you're in a networking situation, whether it's an event or whether it's something at work, find ways to get the contact. So make it a long term, not just a, oh, we had some fun for 5 minutes and it's over. When you're building a network, you want to have deep relationship. You want to have long-term relationship. So find ways to exchange contact. I know a lot of things are virtual, and a lot of times they give you an opportunity to network either in the chat. You can exchange emails or, you know, follow up with stuff. And if you're physically there and you have a business card, use the opportunity to write information on the business card so you remember who you're actually networking with so you can follow up. So don't go there and collect a lot of business cards and you get home and you don't know who this person is. You can't remember. So have a way to document something that you remember about the person. Some people take pictures and the name tag is attached. Whatever method you use during that time, you probably could connect on LinkedIn, but find ways to exchange contact. And one of the most important thing, and the last thing I'm going to talk about, is following up. So always follow up with anyone that you meet in any of those situations. Whether it's something that you're interested in with advocacy and you want to continue with that conversation, whether it's quality or some tool that you think that would be helpful that you want to give that person, but follow up. And when you follow up, maybe in a few weeks, mention something from that conversation or something that you have in common to help that person to remember, and then you can build a long-term relationship and start building your network. And as Stephanie says, network is really gold. It helps you to grow professionally, personally. It helps you to give, and it helps you to take, and then you can build together to build better communities. So those are some of the things that I would help you to do while you're building your network. Any Taiwana, do you have anything about what they shouldn't do?
Absolutely. But Lone, I thought those were some great examples of ways that you can successfully network and follow up. And you're right, you have to remember that it's about providing value and not just what you can get out of networking with somebody. So when I think about, you know, some of the things that you shouldn't do when you are engaged in networking is you shouldn't make excuses for not getting involved. So sometimes I know as laboratorians, we tend to be more introverts. So networking is a bit of a challenge. It could be a bit of a stretch and having us to get out of our comfort zone and get into the challenge zone of meeting new people. And you're right, the professional societies is a great way to do that. But I've often heard a lot of laboratorians say that, well, I'm not going to get involved with ASCP or CLMA or ASCLS or any of the other ones. They don't do anything for me, you know. And it goes back to, you know, what value can you give to the organization? And sometimes we have this anxiety or negative perception of the professional societies. I feel like this, you get out of it what you put into it. And so if you don't put anything in, you don't get anything out. And that's the same way with your network. If you don't invest in developing a network, you're not going to have a quality network. So don't make excuses on why you can't get involved. I don't know anybody. They're not active in my area. They're not active in my region. I don't see anybody from my employer that's involved with those societies, so I'm not going to get involved. yourself. So if you do get that opportunity to network, make sure that you're on time and respectful of the person's time that they have spent. Or if you are networking at these events, a lot of times they have a set time for networking, like it could be before the actual event or during that event, but you want to be on time so that you can fully maximize the experience. So that's whether it's in a group networking setting or if you are following up with a one-on-one contact. You want to reply to your emails and messages promptly because, face it, we all are meeting a lot of different people all the time. Everybody is busy. We hear that all the time. And if you don't reply to an email or message, here it is a week later, 2 weeks later, I might have forgot about who you are. And I might not even know you anymore. So you want to make sure that you are replying to people who are sending you emails, wanting to get to know you further, you know, wanting follow-up information from you. You want to be professional in all communications, and I know with email that we could probably do a whole episode on just professional etiquette in email. But you want to be professional in that, and you want to make sure that in your email, people have a way to get back with you. You know, what is your contact information? That's an easy way for people to remember you and to be able to follow up with you. So you want to make sure that you're professional, have a greeting in your email, those kind of things. And, you know, as you are putting yourself out here in networking, I know that that's going to be a stretch for some of our listeners, but don't take it personal if some people don't bite and don't jump at the opportunity to partner with you. It's really not about you. It could be one of those things. Maybe they just don't have time to really engage. And so they could be saving you some time in the long run. So don't take it personal if somebody is not readily able to network with you at that time. Don't get sidetracked with distractions. When you are involved in networking opportunities, stay engaged in the moment. So make sure that you have your cell phone or other electronics. Make sure you have those away. That could be a major distraction if you are networking with somebody, especially during a live event, and you're talking and hear your phone is buzzing or you're engaged with your phone. I don't know how many times I've had it happen where I could be at a lunch or at a dinner. Everybody has their phones out, and they are fully engaged and engulfed in what's happening on their phone. And I don't think that the lab is falling down or that they have family emergencies that's tying up their energy on that phone. I think they could be on social media or doing other things. And so they're missing out on that opportunity to really network and engage. And don't waste the opportunity on things that doesn't matter. And what I mean by that is not asking the right questions. If you have somebody, especially if it's somebody you've been waiting and wanting to network with, make sure you're asking the right questions. Good leaders ask great questions. Don't waste the time with filler talk that really doesn't mean anything for you or stuff you're not really interested in. You never know how much time you have with somebody, and you want to make sure to maximize those minutes. So you could have, you know, maybe just 5 minutes, and you don't want to waste it on, I hope your day is going great, you know, things that just are not of value. So those are some things that I would say are don'ts. And just don't be afraid to take that chance of meeting somebody new. You never know who has the key that'll open up your next door. And when I think about that, I think about, and I am for the most part, I'm an introvert, but I have to be an extrovert if I want to impact the world and build the future generation of leaders. So I have to be more of an extrovert. But I can remember going to an ASCP conference, and I might have told this story before, but it was my first conference. I didn't know anybody, but I committed to investing in the conference and going and getting the information and you know, finding out what it was all about to go to a conference. I had been a member of the organization for many years, but had never went to the conference. And I can remember being in the exhibit hall, and I was kind of sitting there. And I don't know why introverts do that, but you sit there and you're waiting and hoping somebody will walk up to you and just start a conversation. And then that's like you're leading into being able to engage and kind of break the ice. And, well, luckily for me, somebody did do that. And that somebody, her name is Tiffany Channer. And she walked up to me. I did not know her. And she walked up to me like, "Hey, how you doing? My name is Tiffany Channer." She had business card in hand, and so she was ready for networking. "I'm from New York. You know, I'm a scientist. I'm in the blood bank." I mean, and she just made it so open for us to be able to communicate with one another. And I really appreciate that experience, because what it taught me is that you have to be vulnerable at times, but you have to be open to meet people that you don't know. So she took that chance of networking with me. She didn't know me. She came up and broke the ice, and like she was a gung-ho scientist at the time, not in leadership or anything like that, not very active with ASCP at the time. And I told her I was an ambassador for ASCP, and she was like, "Really? That's something I need to look into." And if you go onto the ASCP website, you know that she's been very active. And I say all of that to say this, that you never know who's going to be that key. Tiffany was somebody who has connected me, I can say, with a lot of people. She actually connected me with my co-host. So, you know, if it wasn't for us knowing her, I probably wouldn't have met them, and we wouldn't be on the air today talking to you about these practical and technical tips that you can use inside of the laboratory. And, you know, that networking opportunity, that chance encounter, that was over 10 years ago, and we've been really good friends ever since. And she inspired me to even get more active in the professional societies. So you just never know who might have that key that will get you active and engaged, and it'll open up another door for you and have you taking chances at opportunities you didn't think you would take. Being able to have that network of resources when you need it. I am very active in CAP inspections at my particular laboratories that I oversee. As we all know, standards change. So to be able to go outside of my particular organization and how we have interpreted the standard and called CAP, it's always great to be able to reach out to that professional network to be able to ask those kind of questions. How are you answering this standard that just recently changed with the last update? So don't miss out on those opportunities to network with people because of that fear of maybe being rejected, that fear of, well, what if they don't talk to me back? Well, so what? They might not. Move on to the next person who will be able to offer you value, and you be able to offer them value. But those are some of the things that I would say of the don't. Don't let your pride, don't let your fear, don't let a lack of insecurity, don't let the unknown, don't let any of those things get in the way of networking with fellow laboratorians, people that's outside of the laboratory, because we love our friends of the laboratory, right? Let's face it, we love our friends of the lab as well. So don't be afraid to network in your professional societies, in your workplace, in your communities, in your churches. Any of those places will be able to add great value. So, ladies, what do you think about that?
Well, I really like what both of you guys talked about with the do's and don'ts, and I wanted to kind of just close in on one thing that Lona said and a couple of things that Taiwan has said, but I really like when Lona said, you know, don't be disingenuous. People see right through that, you know. So genuinely walk up to a person, say hello, be curious about their job, take an interest in them and their work. Because like I said, people can see right through if you have like a pre-formulated agenda for trying to walk up to somebody and meet somebody. And a lot of networking, like we talked about before, is about relationships. And if you think about any relationship in your life, whether it be personal or professional, it really doesn't go too far when you're in it all for you and the things that you can get without thinking about what you can give to the relationship, whether that be personal or professional. That's just some relationship advice for you. And also, I think one of the things that our listeners can take away from this is it might be time, as you're listening to this, to do a little bit of self-awareness, some introspective look. And I did that myself before, like Taiwan has said, you know, a lot of lab people are introverts. And I myself, you know, I took the test, and my whole life had been called an extrovert, but I'm actually an introvert. And that's because I know how to be a chameleon and like Taiwana said, you know, I know how to act in certain settings to get the results that I want. But at the end of the day, I draw my strength internally from being alone. So I am an introvert. But, you know, get to know yourself and get to know what makes you tick and get to know where your weaknesses are. One thing that I learned about myself is I'm not great at making small talk or initiating conversations. And so we've talked about this before, you know, don't just do continuing education on lab work, on technical skills, because you have that. But try to use your time to strengthen those skills that you are weak at, even if they're their soft skills. So I listened to a lot of podcasts, and I watched a lot of videos on, you know, simple things, how to start a conversation, ways to be a great conversationalist. So when you are at that conference and you have that networking hour or you're going through the exhibit hall, you know, you can, you know, draw on those tips to start small conversation and get those relationships going. So you can be that Tiffany Channer that walked up to Taiwana. And, you know, I too know Tiffany. I have my own Tiffany story from going to a conference where she invited me to the president's dinner of an ASCP conference. And she told me, you know, there's going to be a lot of people in this conference. I need you to be in this room. I need you to be here with all of these people. And it was at that moment that all of my preparation of how to start a conversation, how to be a conversationalist, how to make small talk met the opportunity of being at a president's dinner and sitting at a table where I didn't know anybody, but I needed to seize the opportunity and be able to network. So do that pre-work if you feel like you need to, so you can be ready when that opportunity meets you. And, you know, it's when we go to these conferences, it's very easy, you know, after all of the courses or after all the sessions to go back to your hotel room and have dinner by yourself and sit. But I would encourage you, you know, get out, go to those networking hours and think about really what's the worst that could happen. You know, the worst that could happen is you get some food and, you know, you pass a couple of business cards, but really, you know, I would encourage you guys to get out there. And another Tiffany that I just recently met, Tiffany Gill, and we've done another episode with her, the medical lab lady, has turned out to be a great support system, and we're starting to grow our network with each other. But out of the blue one day, I tweeted some merch that she had sent me and some swag that she had sent me from her store, and she replied. And from that tweet exchange, she got a call from the Critical Values magazine to interview her. So you just never know, like Taiwana said, what interactions you have, really, truly supporting somebody and being genuine with your relationship, where that will lead and what other doors that will open up for you. Do you guys have any closing words?
Yeah, I just want to reiterate the importance of long-term relationships that come from networking. Think of those benefits that you can get out of it. And another thing I know we didn't touch on, but I just want the audience to think about is when you're networking, it doesn't have to be in your own industry. So if you have other interests, you can network with people outside of your industry, and you can learn a lot from those and bring it back to your industry. So there's just so many benefits of networking. And that's basically what I have to say. I just can think of so many benefits versus the downside. There's more benefits than downsides.
Absolutely. And so, listeners, I would say the call to action from this podcast is, you know, one, do that self-reflection, as Stephanie said, so that you're able to know yourself and know what pre-work you might need to do before you approach one of these networking situations so that you're able to maximize it to your full advantage. Just have some goals. Make a plan. Commit to a networking opportunity, one networking opportunity each and every week. That way, at the end of that networking opportunity, even if it's just a one-on-one, you would at least have met four new people per month. That's easy to do, simple to do. You can determine in the way that you will network. Maybe that's reaching out to somebody that's on your LinkedIn list or your Twitter list and really saying, hey, I just want to have just a 10-minute chat with you. Keep it simple, but commit to one networking opportunity a week so that you are able to expand your network and build your social capital. So thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Elaborate Topics, where we were able to give you some practical tips that you can use in your personal and professional networking. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast. You can go to directimpactbroadcasting.com and catch up on all of the episodes, or you can also catch up on them on your favorite podcast platform that you consume your content. And until next time, my friends, have an awesome week.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.